Mr. Clutter now fed Babe the core of his apple, calling good morning to a man raking debris inside the corral. Alfred Stokeline, the sole resident employee. The Stokelines and their three children lived in a house not 100 yards from the main house. Except for them, the Clutters had no neighbors within half a mile. A long-faced man with long brown teeth, Stokeline asked, "Have you some particular work in mind today? 'Cause we got a sick 'un. The baby. Me and Miss has been up and down with her most of the night. I've been thinking to carry her to doctor." And Mr. Clutter, expressing sympathy, said by all means to take the morning off, and if there was any way he or his wife could help, please let them know. Then, with the dog running ahead of him, he moved southward toward the fields, lion-colored now, luminously golden with after-harvest stubble. The river lay in this direction. Near its bank stood a grove of fruit trees, peach, pear, cherry, and apple. 50 years ago, according to native memory, it would have taken a lumberjack 10 minutes to axe all the trees in western Kansas. Even today, only cottonwoods and Chinese elms, perennials with a cactus-like indifference to thirst, are commonly planted. However, as Mr. Clutter often remarked, an inch more of rain in this country would be paradise. Eden on earth. The little collection of fruit-bearers growing by the river was his attempt to contrive, rain or no, a patch of the paradise, the green, apple-scented Eden he envisioned. His wife once said, "My husband cares more for those trees than he does for his children." And everyone in Holcomb recalled the day a small disabled plane crashed into the peach trees. Herb was fit to be tied. Why, the propeller hadn't stopped turning before he'd slapped a lawsuit on the pilot. Passing through the orchard, Mr. Clutter proceeded along beside the river, which was shallow here and strewn with islands, midstream beaches of soft sand to which, on Sundays gone by, hot weather Sabbaths when Bonnie had still felt up to things, picnic baskets had been carted, family afternoons whiled away waiting for a twitch at the end of a fish line. Mr. Clutter seldom encountered trespassers on his property. A mile and a half from the highway, and arrived at by obscure roads, it was not a place that strangers came upon by chance. Now, suddenly a whole party of them appeared, and Teddy, the dog, rushed forward, roaring out a challenge. But it was odd about Teddy. Though he was a good sentry, alert, ever ready to raise Cain, his valor had one flaw. Let him glimpse a gun, as he did now, for the intruders were armed, and his head dropped, his tail turned in. No one understood why, for no one knew his history, other than that he was a vagabond Kenyon had adopted years ago. The visitors proved to be 5 pheasant hunters from Oklahoma. The pheasant season in Kansas, a famed November event, lures hordes of sportsmen from adjoining states, and during the past week, plaid-hatted regiments had paraded across the autumnal expanses, flushing and felling with rounds of birdshot great coppery flights of the grain-fattened birds. By custom, the hunters, if they are not invited guests, are supposed to pay the landowner a fee for letting them pursue their quarry on his premises. But when the Oklahomans offered to hire hunting rights, Mr. Clutter was amused. "I'm not as poor as I look. Go ahead, get all you can," he said. Then, touching the brim of his cap, he headed for home and the day's work, unaware that it would be his last.